I wanted to introduce them to you. I want you to hear their story and hear from them and what God's doing. And I want to give you a chance to be involved in this. This is a weakness for me. If someone says they're planting a church, I'm like, we're in. Let's do this, okay? And so I wanted you to hear from them this morning. So I don't know who's going to talk, but y'all tell us what's going on and whatever you want us to hear about. And we love you.
Our family, we have a picture up here of myself, Lisa, and then our youngest, Brennan. Nana's holding her right now, and if you've ever tried to pry a baby from a grandma's hands, you'll die. So we're letting Nana just hold on to her. Piper, our two-year-old precious daughter right there, she's in Children's Church having a great time with some of your kids. And this is our family, and I want you to imagine that you prayed this prayer, that you were to tell God, you said, God, we don't want you to bless what we're doing anymore. We want to be part of what you're already blessing. It's almost like when Moses said, I just want to go where your presence is going. When you pray that prayer, I don't know how God would answer that for you, but I can tell you how he answered it for us, is he has asked us to leave everything we know, a steady paycheck, health insurance, all what we would call security, and he's called our family to plant a church in Denver, Colorado, in the downtown life of Denver, Colorado. And if you say, well, why would you go do that? You're leaving everything. You have two precious little girls. I'll tell you who we're doing it for, and I think I'll answer your question. This person right here, his name is Eli. And the place that we're planting in, it's a neighborhood, an urban neighborhood called Berkeley. And Eli is the one who owns a t-shirt company called Berkeley Supply. Eli represents a ton of entrepreneurs and business people off of Tennyson Street, which is a major street. It's the arts district, one of the arts districts of Denver, and it is where we're trying to live, is right there off of Tennyson Street. Well, that's Eli. Well, then just a few days ago, Lisa met this next person, and her name is Buffy. Buffy is a single mom. She represents a lot of single mothers and families out there, and we met her at a children's library, and whenever she saw Lisa with little kids, she said, hey, why don't you come to our story readings, and why don't you come to our block party, and why don't you come to, and it's like, hey, Lisa, just have fun planning the church. It was an amazing thing to get this invitation from families. So we have a lot of business people, and we have single mothers, and then this last story is real near to my heart. This is Trax. Trax lives in a neighborhood real close to Berkeley, still in downtown, called Highlands. And when I was looking for, and I want to just preface it with this, the Lord called us to our neighborhood, really to this people group, through an atheist, okay? When Trax, I walked into his coffee shop, and I was talking to him. He's a barista there, and I said, what would a church look like in the Highlands, in the area you live in? And this is back in February, and he just kind of laughed, and he said, I'm not religious. And I said, well, I'm not religious either. I'm talking about a relationship with God. And I said, what would it look like for, I said, what's your name? He said, Trax. And I said, well, Trax, what would it look like a church that you would go to? And Trax said, one where we can ask a lot of questions, pretty much one where everyone matters. It's very inclusive of everybody. And I said, man, I kind of shared my testimony. So as I'm leaving, Trax then said, hey, where are you going? And I said, well, I got to get going. He said, are you moving here? I said, I don't know. I'm still looking into the neighborhoods, and he said, what's your name? I said, Preston. He said, Preston, I think you should plant that church in this neighborhood. Well, I look him up on Facebook. He's the CEO of that whole coffee shop, and we're praying that Trax is our first baptism in the church. That's what we're praying for, okay? So we have businessmen and women. We have entrepreneurs, families, and doubters, and if it's intimidating to you, well, if your dream's not intimidating to you, it's probably insulting to God, right? And we know, if you ask if we're intimidated, not like the Israelites from Goliath, not like that, but we know if God doesn't come through, we'll fall flat on our face. And that's the best place we've ever been. We're doing this with an initiative called Urban Islands Project to plant churches in major cities. They start in downtown areas of major cities. They try to get 10 church planters to launch at the same time to work together, and we're one of the 10. There are 7 right now in Denver. So we just ask that you pray for us. We ask that you pray for us in our next steps. And on Tennyson Street, there's this saying. They say, Walmart invaded China, but we've kept them off of Tennyson Street. And that's what they say. So when you say, what's your next step? It's to form a faith community, not to bring in a brand. It's not to be a mega church that's going to overtake Denver. It's to be a church that's going to redeem a community. That's what we're there for. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to join me in praying over these guys this morning. If the Lord moves in your heart, I'll be honest, I told them, they said, can we come? I said, yeah, I don't know what we can do for you. I mean, we're pretty maxed out in our commitments right now, but come and let us pray with you. Let us feel your heart. And so if God moves on you to financially support this, or maybe to talk to them later and hear more, please do that. And if you want to give through us, we'll make sure it all goes to them. But we absolutely believe, guys, we believe, Lisa and I and our family here, we believe in what you guys are doing. We are super excited. I think you know this, but we've loved you guys for a long time. In fact, we always thought a lot about Lisa, and we were pretty sure that she was better than you, and now we're convinced of it. The stories you're telling us, but we believe in you guys. We love you so much. And so, will you join me in praying over these guys? Just reach your hand towards them and let's pray. Father, I just pray over these guys. I pray over their family. Lord, thank you for the way you've led them. You've directed their steps. You've moved them to a new community, God. And now there are faces with that are represented. They're not just moving to a city, but they're moving to a community where they can love on people and help people and answer those questions. God, we pray over these three that have been shared today. I pray over tracks this morning. We're believing that these will be some of the first fruit, God, of these guys stepping out in faith and moving into that community. God, we're believing, we're declaring over them, Lord, the favor of God as they continue to take these next steps. God, we're praying you provide in every way, provide for their family, provide the place to live, provide the place to meet as a church, provide the finances, provide the team, provide every component that's needed. And Lord, we're just believing today, God, that you would pour out your spirit, God, in the neighborhood of Berkeley, in downtown Denver. God, we're asking that you would pour your spirit out there, God, that every person that doesn't know you, God, would come to find you, and God, that people that do know you would grow deeper in their relationship with you. God, I pray a release of supernatural activity, God, over this couple and over that part of the city, God. I pray you would direct every single step, Lord, and we're declaring, God, that your kingdom will come, God, your kingdom will come into that neighborhood, and your will be done, and the darkness will be driven out, and Lord, the light will win. The light will expose the darkness, and the light will win. The light of Jesus Christ will shine in that neighborhood. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you. We love you. Oh, man. What a good day, huh? Oh, so, guys, we are wrapping up our series this morning called Free. Has this been a good series for you? It's been a good series. So today we're wrapping up our series called Free. This is our theme verse for this series is John 8:36. He who the Son sets free is free. Say it with me. Indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. What that means is if Jesus Christ sets you free, then it's for real. Then you really, really are free. And this is what we've been talking about, is not just getting free from the really, really bad stuff, right? Not just, you know, the murderers and the rapists and, you know, the people who embezzle. And it's not just, but this, Hebrews says it like this: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so this has been my plea to you. Anything that's keeping you from the life that God intended for you, that full life that he promises in John 10:10, let's get free from that so that we can have a full life. Well, today's title is this: don't just get free, stay free. Don't just get free, stay free. You see, it's not enough. Oh, yeah. I it's such a heavy topic. I just thought it would be fun to throw some humor in there. It's terrible, right? Listen, I Googled stay free. This is what popped up. All right? It's real, okay? It's real stuff, all right? I don't really know how to recover from this. I knew when I did it I'd be in trouble, but I couldn't help myself, okay? So whatever the next slide is, you should probably just go to it because... there we go. So we're talking about this. A moment of freedom isn't enough, okay? It's going to be hard to recover, right, Bill? We have fun in this church, right? A moment of freedom isn't enough. You see, a lot of us have had a moment of freedom, maybe at summer camp, young people, maybe at the altar in the last couple of weeks. Sometimes, a lot of us have had a moment of freedom, but I'm just contending with you today that a moment of freedom is not enough. That what God intends for us is to get free and then to stay free. Now, I want to show you in Scripture, okay, because I want you to see what happens when a person has a moment of freedom. So Luke 11:24 says this. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes out into the desert, so it goes out into New Mexico, and it searches for rest, okay? So there's a lot of spirits roaming around New Mexico looking, okay, for rest. And it says, but when it finds none, it says, I'll return to the person that I came from. So it returns, and it finds that its former home is all swept and in order, okay? So here's the picture. Someone has an issue, they get free, the evil spirit leaves, and it comes back, and it's not, it says, it finds that former person swept and clean and in order, so it's been taken care of. They had a moment of freedom. That thing that was hindering them has now been dealt with. So check out what happens. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person, and they live there, and so that person is worse off than before. Now, let me tell you this in case you're new. I'm not into scare tactics, okay? We're not one of those churches where we're trying to scare you into accepting Christ or scare you into coming to the altar or anything like that. But this verse is in the Bible, and we happen to believe the Bible. And so I want you to see, this is a verse of warning, okay? If we have a moment of freedom, but we don't develop a lifestyle of freedom, this is what happens. Now, a lot of us have actually seen this, okay? In fact, a lot of us have probably experienced it. A lot of us have moments of freedom, okay? But think about it. Think about when you got free. There was a little girl that we prayed with at camp this week. She got free. And I looked at her and I said, how do you feel? She said, I feel like a balloon. She said, I feel like I'm just floating, right? Okay, so you think about when you got free, you had a moment of freedom, okay? But then within a day or two or a week or maybe a month, you probably felt the enemy come back knocking on your door. And that pull to come back, that pull to go back to that place, to do that thing again, to go back to that place, that pull was so strong. And a lot of us have given in to that. We've had moments of freedom, but then we've returned to those places. And the demonic spirits that have engaged with us, this is what is happening, is they leave, but they come back, and they come back with reinforcements. And so here's what I'm saying to you this morning is that a clean house isn't good enough. It's not, okay, I'm happy for the moment of freedom and for that cleaning up, but what I'm trying to help you with today is a clean house isn't enough. Here's what the Holy Spirit's saying to us this week. I'm proud of you for cleaning the house up, okay? But if you don't put a spirit in your house that's stronger than those eight evil spirits that are coming back, you're going to be in trouble. And so a lot of us during this series and over the last couple of months have had these moments of freedom, okay? But that's not enough. You see, freedom is both a moment and a process. The moment of freedom is what we call deliverance. That's when we encounter the Spirit of God and we surrender to Him, and He sets us free. He breaks that addiction. He breaks that pain. He breaks that memory, and He sets us free. That's the deliverance moment, okay? But freedom is also a process. That's what we would call discipleship. When we get into His Word and we get accountability and we create systems to follow after Him so that we will stay in freedom and we won't return to that former place. Now, there's a term that our justice system uses to describe this in the prison system, and the term is recidivism. This is the act of a person that repeats an undesirable behavior after they've experienced negative consequences. It's used to refer to the percentage of former prisoners who are rearrested for a similar offense. Now, the stats vary from state to state, but nationwide, our recidivism rate for prisoners is 60%. 6 out of 10 who go into prison, go through the process, get released, 6 out of 10 that are released in the next 3 years will repeat the offense and will be back in prison. This is what we're talking about. A moment of freedom is not enough. It's about staying free. Now, I don't know what the recidivism rates would be in the church, but I would bet you that it's at least that high. It's pretty stinking high. People who are free, but go back to it. And what I'm telling you today is that we don't have to repeat that cycle. It is possible not only to get free, but to also stay free. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, and I have 4 points this morning, and you're very quickly going to see a pattern, and we're going to move very quickly because I'll just be honest with you, I cannot wait to get to the altar call time, okay? I wish I could just do it right now. I'm just ready, okay? But you're going to see a pattern in these 4 points, okay? Because this is what God's teaching us. So Galatians chapter 5, how do we stay free? Number one is this, don't go back. Everyone just say that out loud. Say, don't go back. So to stay free, number one, we just don't go back. Galatians 5 starts out like this. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You see, this verse says, okay, that it's for freedom that Christ set you free. But then it says this, is stand firm. Don't let yourself go back. Don't let yourself be burdened again by that thing that Christ sets you free from. So it's possible to get free and then to go back to that. But Galatians is saying, don't do it. Don't go back. Now I'm going to use a really disgusting illustration. I'm just going to warn you, okay? My wife will roll her eyes. I will get talked to at lunch today. But I'm going to use a disgusting illustration to show you what it's like when you go back. And it's actually in the Bible. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. This is a disgusting illustration to say simply this. When you get free from something and you go back to that thing, it's as if you have puked and went back and ate that puke up off of the floor. Some of you want to puke right now. I know. Okay, it's disgusting. I warned you, though. I did warn you, and I feel like that makes it better, even though it doesn't. Okay? This is what the Bible says. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't go back to the puke. It's disgusting. That's why I set you free from it. Now, a slightly less disgusting illustration is 2 Peter 2:22. It says this, a sow or a pig that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Have you ever tried to wash a pig? They like to stay dirty, right? They go back to the mud. Here's what it's saying. Don't go back. Number two, don't go back. You seen the pattern yet? Don't go back, even if other people try to mess you up. Verse 7 of Galatians 5 says this. It says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. And so here's what it's saying. It's saying, don't go back, even if other people mess you up. And it uses a running illustration. A lot of you know I enjoy running. I know a lot of you don't, but that's okay. What this is saying is this. I don't know if you've ever ran a race and you've been going and you've got your pace going and you're feeling good and you know you got your music going on. And I'm enjoying lately Spotify has a new running feature and it adjusts to your tempo and you're just going and you're in your pace, and someone cuts in on you. This is what it's saying. Saying, who cut in on you? Because when they cut in on you, it throws everything off. All of a sudden, your pace is off. Your attitude is off. You're done. You're like, oh, you get mad. You get upset. It just throws everything up. And this is what he's saying in Galatians. He's saying, who cut in on you? You are doing such a good job. Who tripped you up? Who changed your attitude? Who messed you up? And here's the lesson. Here's what it's teaching. To stay free, you're going to have to change some of your relationships in order to stay free. See, here's the problem that a lot of believers have. We have the moment of freedom, but we return to the old friendships, to the old places, to the old stuff. And here's the warning, okay? I'm not telling you, because we teach here, every single person matters. I'm not telling you that those people don't matter. I'm telling you this. If you want to stay free, you're going to have to change your relationships, or they will cut in on you, they will trip you up, and you will be back in the vomit. You'll be back in the mud pit. So we're saying, don't go back. Don't go back, even if other people try to mess you up. And number three, don't go back. You getting the pattern here? Don't go back, because you were created for freedom. Don't go back, because you were created for freedom. Verse 13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I want you to see that. You were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Can I say it to you this way? You were not created to be a slave. You were created to be a son. You were created to be free. You see, we've talked about this a lot in this series, is too many of us have just settled and said, you know what? This is how I am. I'm just this way, right? Have you ever heard someone that, you know, it's like, can you change? Well, this is how I am. You know, I'm angry because I'm a redheaded Irish person. No, you're angry because you're bound up in anger, okay? Right? I'm an alcoholic because my grandfather, my dad was an alcoholic. No, you're an alcoholic because you drink alcohol too much, okay? And here's what Galatians is saying. You were created for freedom. I want you to hear this. You were created to be free. You were not created to be a slave. You were not created to be in bondage. You were not created to be addicted. You were created to be free. I read an article this week about recidivism. That's a cool word, right? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's cool. I read an article about this week, and this guy who had been in prison for 6 years, when he got out, he got involved with a nonprofit that helps to reduce the rate of people going back to prison. And then he started working part-time there, and then eventually he got hired on full-time. And so now his whole life is all about helping people not go back. And I want you to hear what he said in this article. This is powerful. He said this: it's really easy to commit crime when you can persuade yourself that no one else out there is convinced of your rehabilitation. You see, too many of us have the moment of freedom right here. We come down and we surrender to God and we give it up. But we walk out of here, okay, and we're afraid that no one's going to believe that we've changed. And so because of that, we justify, we talk ourselves back into, well, no one thinks I'm going to be any different. Maybe it's this: my spouse doesn't think I'm going to be able to change. My friend doesn't. And so we talk ourselves into going back. We go back to that place. Listen to this last part. He says this: the tremendous amount of hope with which people come out of prison is often buoyed with a tremendous amount of fear of failure. Here's what I'm telling you, okay? Don't go back. Don't leave this place, this moment of freedom, walking out going, well, I'm probably going to mess up. I'm probably going to go back to it. Boy, I really enjoy licking vomit off the floor. I think I'm going to go back, right? Here's what I'm telling you. Don't go back. Don't go back, even if other people mess you up. And don't go back, because you were created to be free. Now, we're going to do something, and we're going to do something right now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm going to warn you, okay? I'm going to warn you that you might need to get a tissue, okay? I'm going to be bawling like a baby, I can promise you. Okay, this gets me every time. During this series, we've had a lot of people who have found freedom, okay? And so I asked a bunch of them, I said, would you take the next step and celebrate your freedom by telling us all about it, okay? So in other words, I said, will you tell us how messed up you were, right? And then tell us what God's done in your life. And so I have about, 15 or 20 friends who are going to join me. And they're going to tell us very quickly, it takes about 20 seconds, they're going to tell us their story of freedom, okay? Now, if you don't know this about us, this is a judgment-free zone, okay? And if you can help me, because this is a big step for a lot of these, okay? When we see the new life, I want you to help me by celebrating that and encourage our friends who have now found freedom. Because remember, it's easy to go back when you've convinced yourself that no one thinks that you can change, okay? These friends have changed, are changed, and will stay changed. Do you believe that? Okay. Enjoy. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Wasn't that awesome? I'm telling you, that told the story way faster than I ever could. All right, if you can, go find your seats real quick. I have one more thing to do, and then we're going to pray. All right, worship team, just continue, okay? All right, so this is what we said. We said, don't go back, don't go back, don't go back, and I bet you cannot guess what point number four is. You knew it. Don't go back. And now I'm going to tell you how, okay? Here's how. Walk in the Spirit. You keep reading in Galatians, and here's what it says. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another so that you don't do what you want to do. But, check this out, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So here's the how. How do I not go back? You've got to be full of the Spirit. A clean house isn't enough. But if the Spirit of God comes inside of you, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, I don't care how many demons come back. I don't care how many spirits come back. I don't care how long the addiction was. None of that matters because the Spirit of God, it says, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. And so here's what I'm asking you. If you want to stay free, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, some of you, this is what you're thinking. You know what? I can't do it. You know what? You're right. You can't do it. But Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's the only way. I'm telling you, because I've been there, I've done that. The only way for you to stay free is to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now we're finally where I wanted to be. This is where I wanted to be since 10:15 this morning, okay? We're going to pray for some people, okay? Now I've got some friends that I've asked you to be ready to pray with people. You can begin to make your way. And I want you to come to this side of the stage, okay? There's a few of you that I've asked. And here's what I'm going to do, okay? This whole series has been bold, right? This whole series, we've been doing stuff with our eyes open, right? We've been confessing sin. We've been getting free, right? Okay, this whole series, we've been doing this, okay? Y'all try to stay on that side because we're going to separate in a second, okay? So here's what we're going to do. I have a final prayer of freedom that we're going to pray over our body, over our community, over all of us, okay? I'm going to pray this final prayer, and I'm telling you, there's something going to be released. If you haven't found freedom yet, this is going to be it, okay? We're going to bind, the scripture says this, what we bind on earth, He binds in heaven. What we loose on earth, He looses in heaven. And so we're going to bind some stuff, and we're going to have this final prayer of freedom, okay? And here's what we're going to do. As I'm praying this, okay, you're not going to even wait, okay? You're not going to wait. Hold on, let me warn you. There will not be an official end to this service like our normal, you know, oh, it's done. That was cute. Here's the bow. Blessing. See you later. Right? We're not going to have that, okay? So if you need to leave, you just leave, but I don't think you're going to want to, okay? So as I'm praying this prayer, I'm going to give you two options, okay? I'm just obeying. The Spirit of God told me to do this 3 weeks ago, okay? So here we are. If you would say today, I'm free, I want to stay free, and I need to, I've been filled with the Spirit, but I've not been walking in that, like Galatians says. I've not been staying there, not walking in step. I'm going to have you come to this side, okay? To my right, your left. And you just, as I'm praying that, you just come and you just begin to seek the Lord, and you're going to be refilled with the power that comes. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the presence of God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But if you're here today, we've been preparing for this, and you'd say, you know what? I see what you're saying. I get it. And I need to be filled. And I've never been filled. By the way, we had four students of our students filled for the very first time this week at youth camp, okay? So here's, you might even be at this place. I don't even know what you're talking about. You might even be at this place. I have way too many questions. You might be at this place. People who speak in tongues are nuts, okay? I don't know where you're at, okay? That's why I have some amazing friends that are ready to pray, coach, teach you, okay? And we're going to help you. We're going to help you get there, okay? Because here's what we believe. Lisa and I believe you can be filled with the Spirit and you don't have to be an absolute crazy person, okay? I think too many people are scared of this because of the excesses that we've allowed in our churches, okay? And so if you would say today, I'm ready to try this out. I want to be filled. I've never been filled, okay? Then you're going to come to this side and we're going to lead you in a little bit different way, okay? And so, in fact, once you're up here, I'm going to give this side a little bit more coaching, okay? And this side, you guys just go for it. You already know what you're doing, so you just go for it, okay? So I'm going to help you out. Everyone just stand right now, because now you're halfway there, okay? Now you've already stood up, okay? And as I pray this prayer, if you need to move, you move to whatever side you need to move towards, okay? Are you ready for this? Is that clear? All right, Father, we come to you now in worship and praise, and we surrender ourselves completely in every single area of our lives. Lord, I'm taking a stand this morning against every work of Satan in my life, in this church, and in our city. Lord, I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob us of the will of God. Father, I'm standing now against every spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, jealousy, insecurity, inferiority, spirit of fear, rejection, self-pity, self-hate, anger, rage, murder, violence. Father, we break the power of sexual immorality this morning, of impurity and adultery, fornication, lust, and pornography. We say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the spirit of pride and lying and deception and rebellion, manipulation, control, criticism, judgmental spirits, every spirit of arrogance, of racism, of greed, materialism, selfishness, covetousness, self-ambition. Lord, we break the power of depression today. Right now, we break the power of depression, anxiety, worry, suicide, self-destruction, addiction, dependency, alcoholism, drugs, obesity, rebellion to authority, religious pride, heresy, false doctrine, stealing, laziness, guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, every negative word that's been spoken over you. I break that this morning. Every curse, every spell, blasphemy, sickness, disease, infirmity, chronic health issues, be broken off today. Father, we're choosing to be transformed by the renewing of our minds this morning. And so I pull down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and I loose myself a sound mind, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. All right, let me give some direction right over here, and these guys are going to start praying for you. Let me clear something up. You guys just go for it. You guys just begin to seek the Lord. Acts chapter 2, says the disciples were all together and they were seeking the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see this. It says this. It says, they began to see what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. And all of them, every single one of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay? Now this is the part that freaks people out is, do I have to speak in another language? Do I have to have that? Well, if you look at the pattern that's in the Scripture, you see it in Acts 2, you see it in Acts 10, you see it in Acts 19, is that when they were filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues. Okay? I didn't make it up. Okay? God did. It's right here in this book. All right? And we're at a church that believes this book from Genesis to Revelation. And when we read and people were filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues. Okay? And so what we're praying for today, we're not praying for you to speak in other tongues. We're praying for you to be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, tongues is part of that. But so is power. So is the gifts of the Spirit. So is fruits of the Spirit. So I don't want you to get too hung up on that part of it. But I'm telling you that it is part of it. Does that make sense? I want to show you one more scripture, and then we're going to begin to pray for you. In that same book, in Luke chapter 11, the same chapter, I want you to hear this. It says this, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," catch this, "how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You see, He's telling us it's a gift. So can I tell you something? You can't earn it this morning. You can't manipulate it. You can't make it happen. It's a gift of the Spirit that He is going to give to you. And so let me just tell you this, okay? You don't have to make it happen. As you're praying, when the Holy Spirit begins to come on you, sounds funny, but you're just going to begin to hear words inside of your head that aren't English and that don't make sense to you. And here's where you have to release the gift of faith, is you have to say that word out loud. Okay? And when that happens, more words come and it just begins to flow. Let me tell you one story for those of you that are up here. I prayed with a little boy at camp this week. He was like this tall. Okay, I had to pray with him on my knees to look him in the eye. Okay, he was so shy, so bashful. He's standing there like this, and I'm like praying over. I said, "Buddy, you're gonna have to pray. You're gonna have to say it out loud." And he said, "Well, I normally pray in my head." I said, "It's not gonna work this time. It's a language. You're gonna have to open your mouth. It's gonna come out." We started praying for him, and I could tell. You know, when someone has a word, they're about to talk to you. They kind of lean forward, and their mouth begins to move. But he wouldn't do it. And he stopped. He said, I just don't know. He said, "I have a word in my head, but it doesn't make sense." I said, "That exactly, right? You got it, man." And then he goes, "I think I need a drink of water." I said, "Okay, go get a drink of water." I've never had this happen. He walks over, gets a drink of water. He comes back. He goes, "Okay, I think I'm ready." I said, "All right, Christian, this time, when that word comes, you just say it. Whatever it is, that first word." We started praying over him again, and I saw it. I saw when it happened, and it came, and he goes, he's got the courage, and he spoke that first word out, and that first word unlocked the wave of the Holy Spirit over his lives. He just began to speak in tongues and was just filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? I don't know how it's going to happen to you. I'm trying to give you some practical, okay? Because it's not complicated. It's a gift. He wants to just give it to you, okay? And so, those of you that are here, I'm just going to release you to begin to pray over these for the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right. So if you're still in your seats, we're going to pray with these for as long as we need to. We're going to do it, take as long as we need. That's why I'm telling you, not going to be a formal dismissal. But if you'd like to join us in worshiping, if you'd like to join us in just hanging out in the presence of the Lord, you're free to. And we're going to begin, and those that are up here, there's something absolutely special for you this morning, okay? I gave them a lot of attention, and I'm sorry. But we're going to begin to pray right now over those of you. You just raise your hands right now. Father, I'm praying over my friends right now who just need to be refreshed, who just need to be renewed. They just need the Spirit of God just to come over them right now, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that there's that initial encounter where you fill us up, but then there's just more moments, more times, God, where we've got to come back to you and just get topped off. We've got to be renewed. We've got to be refreshed. And so, God, I'm praying over each of my friends today because, God, we want to stay free, God. We want to stay free. We don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to that place. And so, God, I'm praying right now that you would just begin to release right now the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord, to just begin to overwhelm our hearts, just to begin to move across this room, all across this room, but especially right here, those who have stepped out in faith and have begun just to seek you, to seek your presence, God. Lord, we're not here for anyone else. We're not here for anything else, God. We're here just to seek you, to hear from you. And so, God, I pray, Lord, right now for a refreshing and for a renewing of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.